You have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. This morning we began to try to look at the fact that Jesus is the greatest teacher that has ever lived. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." And Jesus is the master teacher. We find that when he began the Sermon on the Mount, the scripture says that he began and he taught them. The Word of God all through the New Testament talks about Jesus teaching his people. He taught them from city to city. He went into the temple and taught them in the temple. And he taught them primarily, as he was doing most of his teaching, it was primarily about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Now, if we are followers of Jesus, if we are disciples of Jesus, then we're to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and among other things that we are to be found doing is that we are to be teaching others just like Jesus was teaching others. We're to walk in the footsteps of the great teacher, and we're to go around and we're to teach other people, and as we go through the book of Acts, we find that was one of the most prominent things that the Word of God tells us about the people in the book of Acts. In the early church, one of the most predominant things that's mentioned is that the people were teaching others about the kingdom of heaven. I want to begin now in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The Word of God says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, 'Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life.'" You hear the words that the angel gave to the apostles? He says, to go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of, what's the last two words there? Of this life. What is the kingdom of heaven about? It's about this life. It's about the abundant life that God's people can have while they live here in this world. And so he says the apostles were released by the angel of God, they were released from the prison. He says, you're to go and you're to teach the people, tell the people, all the people, the words of this life. Verse 21 says, "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught." What are they doing? They're doing the same thing that Jesus did. There are a number of times in the New Testament that the Word of God says that Jesus went into the temple and taught, and now the apostles are doing just like Jesus did. They're going into the temple and they're teaching. And remember now that their teaching in the temple is against what the people have commanded them to do. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they not only hated Jesus, but they hated anyone else that was going to teach the way that Jesus was teaching. And the apostles were going about and they were turning the world upside down with their teaching. They were teaching the words of this life. They were teaching about the kingdom of heaven. So after they had been released from prison, and again now, who is it that released them from prison that we just read about in Acts 5, beginning in verse 17? Who is it that released them from prison? It's the angel of the Lord that released them from prison. Now, and they go right back into the temple. They begin to do again what they've been commanded not to do, which is to not teach anymore, not to teach that doctrine anymore. They go right back into the temple. They begin again to teach in the temple. And once again, those that are in authority, the Sanhedrin Council, they're called together and they gather up the apostles again. You come down to verse 27, you'll find that they're beginning to question the apostles again and to rebuke them. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 27, the Word of God says, "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did not we straitly command you that ye should not, what's the next word? That ye should not teach in this name. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. Now, what were they doing? Everywhere that they went, they were teaching, and they were teaching the truth about Jesus Christ and about the kingdom of heaven. The doctrine of God was being taught everywhere that they went. I don't know of anything more important today than for the truth of God's Word, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the teachings of the kingdom of heaven. One of the most important things is for the people of God to do what Jesus did, for all of us in this building to be going about teaching others the truth of God's holy word. We, if we're disciples of Christ, we're to be teachers, we're to teach other people. I believe that children can teach other children. I believe that women can teach women. I believe that men can teach men. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he says, the things that I have committed unto thee, he says, you're to take those things and you're to commit them to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I thank God that we have a number of men in this building that are able and do go and teach the Word of God. I'm talking about teaching in public ways. I'm talking about teaching at the nursing home and teaching in other places. But not only are we to teach in public places, which the apostles did, they taught in the temple, and Jesus taught in the temple, but they taught everywhere that they went. And so I hope that God will bless the church here to be like the apostles were and to be like the disciples of Jesus were, that just as Jesus went everywhere teaching, may God help us all to be teachers just like Jesus was. In Acts chapter 11, go to Acts chapter 11, let me ask you this question. What is it that makes a person a Christian? What is it that makes a person? The word Christian or Christians is only used twice in the New Testament. But what is it that makes a person a Christian? A person is not a Christian just because they say they believe in Jesus Christ. That doesn't make a person a Christian. A Christian is someone who is following Christ. And we find that when the Word of God is talking about Christians and talking about following Christ, guess what the number one thing was that they were doing that caused them to be called Christians? What was Jesus? Jesus was a great what? Jesus was a great teacher. And so it is, if you'll look in Acts chapter 11, you'll see that the reason that they were called Christians was because they were teaching the Word of God. In Acts chapter 11, notice verses 25 and 26. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 11, verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And what were all these people doing? And taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, and I've never particularly noticed this, but I believe that the reason that they were called Christians is because they were doing the same thing that Jesus spent most of his life doing, and that is teaching people the Word of God. And so it is that when they were teaching people the Word of God, that's the reason that they were called Christians. Not just that they were following Christ in other ways, but the specific way that is identified here in Acts 11, verse 27, the main way that they were identified as Christians is that they were teaching others, which is what Jesus had been doing during his life. In Acts chapter 14, the Word of God tells us about the Apostle Paul going around, and he had been to a number of different cities, and in all of those cities that Paul had been going, he had, everywhere he went, he had been teaching the kingdom of heaven. He called the elders of Ephesus together, and he taught them and told them that they were to continue to preach the kingdom of heaven, just as he had been preaching to them. In Acts chapter 14, Paul and Silas are going back now in this chapter. In Acts 14, they're going back to several cities where they have already been teaching, but they're going back to those same cities to teach them again. Why do people need to be taught over and over? Why do they need to hear things repeatedly? Well, one reason is that we sometimes forget those things. There are churches, I have seen churches that I thought were well established in the truth. And a preacher will leave and the next preacher comes along and they gradually are led astray from the truth of God's Word. And then they need for another preacher to come back in again to reestablish them in the truth of God's Word. They were never established to begin with, or they would not have been led astray. In Acts chapter 14, listen to what Paul is doing. Acts 14 verses 21 and 22. Acts 14 verse 21, the Word of God says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra." Now what had they been doing there? They had done two things in verse 21. "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had," what's the second thing they had done besides preaching? "And taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." Here's what they were doing as they were returning to those cities: "confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." They again are continuing to teach the churches and to reteach the churches the importance of the preaching and teaching on the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. I want to mention again that it is not only in the house of God that teaching is to take place. It's also as you go about your daily activities and as you go and you visit with other people that you're to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. Brother Ryan Rawlerson is here tonight. He and I have had some fellowship this past week, and one of the things that we did, what did we do on Monday? I believe it was Monday. What did we study about on Monday, Brother Ryan? Kingdom of God. And it's amazing to me that in about 30 minutes time, I could then go back after just 30 minutes of us talking and studying on the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, I could go back and I could ask him question after question about the kingdom of God, and he had grasped, God had blessed him to grasp and understand the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Anyone that you're around very long, if you believe that they're children of God, if you believe that they love God, if you believe that they love Jesus Christ, you need to teach them about the kingdom of heaven. Everybody needs, every child of God needs to know the truth. Not just that we one day are going to be in heaven when we die, but they need to know the truth that we can have some heaven while we live here in this world. There are many of God's children that are living in hell today because they don't understand the great part of the gospel, which is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Acts chapter 20, notice where Paul was going preaching there. He talks about all the different places that he's been preaching and teaching. In Acts chapter 20, listen please to verses 20 and 21. Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, the Word of God says, and how, this is what Paul is saying to the elders at Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, verses 20 and 21, he says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have," watch what he does now, "and have taught you." What was Paul doing everywhere he was going? He was teaching. What does that make him? It makes him a disciple of Jesus Christ, because he is not only following in the footsteps of Jesus, he's not only living a godly life, but he is teaching other people about Jesus and about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He says, I have showed you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Everywhere he was going, he was teaching about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He's saying in verse 21, "testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul taught publicly, and he taught from house to house everywhere he went. He was teaching about Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes the people of God are not able to teach other people. There are children of God who have been to church all their lives and they can't teach anybody anything. There are children of God that have heard the Word of God preached. They have been taught the Word of God, and yet they're not teaching anyone anything. Turning your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, listen to what the Word of God, the Apostle Paul was frustrated to some degree about that, and he rebuked some people that were children of God, but he was rebuking them because even though they knew some things, they were not teaching other people. And did you know that the main reason that people don't try to teach other people is because they're not well established in the Word of God? I don't want to try to teach somebody something that I don't know hardly anything about. I don't want to try to teach somebody something that I'm ignorant of. Brother Robbie, when it comes to mechanics, you think I'm going to try to teach anybody about an engine? Do you think, Brother Robbie, you know me, you've known me for 30 years, you think I'm going to try to teach anybody anything about an engine? Sir? No, I can't even teach them. See, I can't teach them anything, and I don't certainly, as Brother Robbie said, I don't need to work on it, but I can't even teach them anything because I can usually identify a carburetor on top of the engine, but that's about as far as it goes. I can identify spark plugs and carburetor, but when it gets past that, I'm lost. I know where the breather is on top of the, usually, they used to be a breather on top of the carburetor, and then the engine's below that, but that's about the extent. I'm not going to try to teach anything about, if you said, I want you to teach me about an engine, I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't teach you. I'm not going to try to teach you about that. People are not teaching others about the Word of God because they don't know enough about the Word of God to know where to start teaching. You can go to church all your life and never, ever be established in the truth. That's the reason that so many churches are just tossed and individuals are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It is because they are never established in the truth of God's Word. In Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about people that were like that in Acts chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Acts 5, verses 11 and 12. The Word of God says, of whom Paul's writing to these people, and he says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. The Apostle Paul saying, I can't preach all the things that are on my heart that I want to preach to you because you're dull of hearing. They're not interested in hearing any more about the Word of God. He says, I know more, but I can't teach you anything else. If you're not going to listen when somebody's teaching, you will not learn anything. Does everybody understand that? If you're not going to listen, if you're dull of hearing, if you stop up your ears or just turn it out, you can sit there and tune me out anytime you want to. You don't have to listen to me. You can tune me out. Paul said these people were tuning him out. They were dull of hearing. Then he says in verse 12, he says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, the people he's talking to had been affiliated with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the church of Jesus Christ long enough that it was time that they ought to be teachers. Why? Because everybody who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, everybody who follows Christ, ought to be teaching others about Jesus and about the kingdom of heaven. He says, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. There are many people today who have been in the church all their lives and cannot teach anybody the truth of God's Word. And Paul's basically saying, I'm ashamed of you when you can't teach anyone the Word of God. It's time for you to be teachers, and you have need that one teach you again. If you're not learning from God's Word, if you're not studying God's Word, and if you're not equipping yourself to teach other people the truth of God's Word, that's the way the early church grew. That's the way this church or any church will grow, is if when the people go out and begin to teach other people and other people hear the truth, that's what will bring them, if they're established Christians, that's what's going to bring them to the house of God. Let me just ask you one other question. There are a lot of other scriptures that talk about us teaching and about the people teaching in the Word of God. I want you to tell me something that Paul said that he had learned. You see, Paul was a teacher. Was Paul a teacher? We've just read from Acts 14 and from Hebrews 5. The Apostle Paul was a teacher. He taught the doctrines of Jesus Christ. He taught publicly and from house to house. He taught the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He taught about the King Jesus Christ. But did Paul also keep learning? As long as he lived, he kept learning. But here's one thing he said as he wrote to the saints of God at Philippi. He said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, I have learned. Now, where did he learn that from? When he said, I have learned. That's right. He learned it from God. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Do you and I need to learn that? That's what we started out with this morning, is I need to go to the master teacher. I need to go to the master teacher every day. And I say, need to say, Master teacher, teach me to pray. Master teacher, teach me to number my days and apply my heart to wisdom. I need to say, Master teacher, teach me to profit. I need to, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and, what's the next word? Learn of me. I need to go to Him and take His yoke upon me and learn of Him. And I need to do what Paul did in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, when he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Have you learned that? Sometimes I think I've learned it, and then something will happen and I'll be in a different state. That word state doesn't mean like Georgia, Florida, Alabama. It means like condition. I'll be in a different condition. I'm sure that when Sister Leslie was paralyzed, that was a state you never thought you would be in, wasn't it? But she learned to be content in that state. That doesn't mean that she was just going to sit down and never try to get better. But it did mean that she was going to look to God for the strength and grace that she could be happy and full of joy and in the kingdom of heaven no matter what the conditions were in her life. I doubt that Sister Michelle ever thought she would have cancer. But now that she has cancer, you know what she's done? She has learned to be content. And that means to be happy and full of joy in spite of the circumstances and conditions of life. The only way you'll ever learn, the only way anybody here will ever learn to be content, is if you go to the master teacher and say, teach me to be content. May God help us to go to the master teacher for Him to teach us. And then may God help us as His disciples to go and teach others, is my prayer for Christ's sake.